football on Off the Ball.
So you can't not mix politics and sport. You have to do it, because you can't send an Israel team into the Viva Stadium and go, it'll be grand, Jack. No, it won't be.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Rugby Daily with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome along to Monday's Rugby Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, the debate around the Ireland 10 jersey rumbles on as head coach Andy Farrell claps back at Irish fans and media. The IRFU investigate the racist abuse of Edwin Odogbo, and the Welsh rugby misery continues, this time at the hands of France. Andy Farrell has lashed out at the keyboard warriors who have targeted Sam Prendergast and Jack Crowley ahead of another week in which the Irish out-half debate is certain to heat up. Ireland take on England in Twickenham in round 3 of the Six Nations on Saturday after a loss to France and a less than convincing win over Italy. Leinster's 23-year-old out-half Prendergast has started the last 4 internationals as Ireland beat Australia and Italy and lost to South Africa and France, while Munster's 26-year-old Crowley has come off the bench in those games, sometimes deployed at full back. Prendergast had a day to forget against Yatsuri, with poor option taking, Aaron kicking from hand and the tee combined with 4 missed tackles. Asked about how Saturday's game will influence his decision as to who to choose at 10, Farrell said, "Do you know what? I might be talking out of school here, but in my opinion, for what's gone on over the last year or something, especially with the keyboard warriors, I think people need to ask themselves, really, sometimes, are we Irish? Do we want people to do well or not? Because it can be tough for these kids. You know, I've seen it toing and froing with both of them, and both of them are strong characters. It takes a lot to break kids like that, but I've seen it affect people. So the keyboard warriors on Twitter, or whatever you call it now, need to cop on and try and help these kids." Former Ireland and Munster back row Alan Quillen and former Scotland head coach Matt Williams joined Cullen Buhig and Adrian Barry in Monday's Off the Ball breakfast to dissect the weekend's Six Nations action. And Williams says that he would have picked Jack Crowley from the outset of the tournament.
Matt, I'm asking the head coach within you here, how would you deal with Sam Prendergast this week?
Very interesting question, isn't it? If we look at, well let's just say the Irish bench was highly effective when they came on. You know, they did a good job. They did a very, very good job when they came on there. Chopping and changing. Look, I make no bones. I would have picked Jack right through. I felt it should have been the other way around, that Jack Crowley should have been starting and Sam should have been the bench guy, in my opinion. You know, that's just, it's not, and I believe me, I don't get a vote. But Jack did a really great job coming on there when he did. Now, you go with a 6-2 bench. Let's start with that. What do you do if you don't have Crowley at a 6-2 bench? Because Jack can play 10, 12, 15. If you go with a 6-2 against England and you swap them, you put Sam back there, Sam's a 10, full stop. And we could see up when England at Murrayfield went with a 6-2 bench and they got the Arundel got the red card, he was caught because on his bench he had a specialist 9 and a specialist 10. So there's your first issue. Then do you go to a 5-3? That hasn't been the case in recent times against the big nations. Farrell's gone with a 6-2. So there's your first one. What was Sam the real problem in that? You know, he's worked with Craig, and this is what I mean again. When you make changes, it disrupts the side, and coaches understand that, but you've got to do it. So Craig Casey deserved his run. I've got a huge respect for Craig. He deserved to go out there. But he and Sam haven't worked together a lot in real terms, unlike what his relationship with Jamison Gibson-Park or Connor Murray in the past, for that matter. So if you remember, there was a scrum in the first half on the right-hand side of the field, and it was a really good play. Really good set play, something I've been banging on about with the new laws where the 9 stands. Ireland had designed this set play where Craig Casey picked the ball up and sprinted left. They had a player coming underneath and Prendergast was coming around, and they had completely isolated the Italian back row, the 9 and 10. So Ireland had 4-5 on 3 and the ball went behind Prendergast. And that's not Prendergast's fault. The whole thing fell apart around him. He picked it up and carried on, but it was a bad pass from Craig. And I'm not criticising Craig. I'm just telling you what happened. But that's what happens when you do that. Now, if the ball had hit Prendergast's hands and he had a dump, there was a gap. If you watched the head on, you could drive the Queen Mary through the gap that the play design had opened up. It was a great play design from Ireland. If you had a pass, we still had a two-man overlap. And I'm pretty certain it would have been a try. So what you've got to decide, okay, we're going to Twickenham. These guys are going to be so infuriated in what happened to him at Murrayfield.
The IRFU is investigating cowardly wrist abuse directed at Edwin Odogbo following his international debut. Munster second row Odogbo was targeted on social media after coming on as a replacement in Saturday's Six Nations victory over Italy in Dublin. The 23-year-old was born and raised in Cove in Cork to Nigerian parents. Posts on the IRFU's X and Instagram accounts celebrating Odogbo's first cap attracted a number of racist comments. In a statement, an IRFU spokesperson said, "We are aware of some targeted abuse online in recent days. Continue to work with Signify, a data technology company which specialises in protecting against online abuse, and the relevant authorities to report it. We will also continue to fully support all affected by the cowardly actions of a minority. Investigations are underway alongside our partner Signify. It is clear that racist abuse has no place in Irish society, and the IRFU has a zero tolerance policy towards racism in any form." Odogbo played the final 10 minutes against Italy after coming on for James Ryan. He received a huge cheer from the Aviva Stadium crowd before helping Andy Farrell's side hold on for a victory during a nail-biting finale. And ahead of Saturday's game, Off the Ball's Rachel Sheehan went to Cove Pirates RFC and spoke with the club president Nicola Power, Edwin's under-13 coach Kevin O'Keefe and club PRO Richie McGrath to find out the background of Odogbo's story and how he became the player he is today.
This is an inspirational day. This is an inspirational day now for everybody. And we're here on a Saturday morning where the minis are out in the pitch and, you know, getting ready to I suppose, show off their rugby skills. And, like, he is such a huge role model for all of those kids now, coming from a junior club, a non-rugby playing school, into the Munster Academy, and all the pathway right now to making the Irish squad. Like, any of the young boys and girls out there this morning would only be just so, so happy if they could, you know, fulfil their dreams just like Edwin.
And a completely non-traditional way heading in, he was actually down here watching his younger brother Sean playing, I believe.
This is how he came in, yeah. Absolutely. Apparently he was going on down to the tennis club decided or was persuaded by his by people on the team to come this way, and thankfully he did, and the rest is history, as they say, you know. So yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You had the pleasure of coaching him while he was younger?
I did. And you know, he was always courteous, always a gentleman, really, before his time, never any trouble. On the metrics of behaviour on a bus, he was top of the class, didn't cause any problems on the bus, which is always very important at under 13 level. Yeah, he was a pleasure, really. Yeah.
He was 13 when he took up rugby.
Yes.
Was it evident pretty early on that he was going to be a bit of a star?
Yes, in the sense that physically he was had all the attributes, and you felt that he was going somewhere, and he picked it up really quickly, and that was probably, you know, due to his coaches, really forward coach Ray Dignam, who was really influential, I would have thought, in his first year, he was like a sponge, and you know, so much so that the team above us, the 14s, they were taking him from us on the weekends that we weren't playing. So, you know, he clearly took it onto it very quickly. Yeah, absolutely.
His size is, and his power are, like, such attributes of his, but what else do you think it is that makes him so special?
Well, it is just his physical presence, but also he's got a skill level that is kind of not really always that evident until you kind of watch him later. His athleticism, really, and the physicality. Yeah. I mean, we started him off in the centre, which is really not exactly where he was going to end up. But the idea was to give it to him, and let him run, because, you know, he had all that those attributes. That was only about one or two games, and quickly he went into the forwards, and you know, and he came on from there. To where he is now, yeah.
Richie hasn't had the most straightforward of runs. He's been dogged by injury the last couple of years. it shows a lot of resilience for him to come back, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and just reflect back to your last question as well. One of the standout things about Edwin as well is the fact that the knocks that he's had, as you mentioned there, it would be rare for someone at his age to come back from one of the injuries that they had, but to come back from multiple injuries and to show the grit and determination that he did. As part of his rehabilitation, he kept very close contact with the club here as well, and he could be found here at any random time doing his training, very low key. He'd be on the bottom pitch here where no one would see him going through his drills, or he could be up in the gym at early hours when there's nobody around, just getting the work done. And I suppose that's a testament to the grit and determination that he has, and it's proven him well to get to where he is today.
That is now available for you to listen back to in your OTB Rugby podcast feed now for free.
Pegó en la mano del hombre argentino, se está habilitando el hombre italiano que ingresa, elude al arquero, viene el empate, ¡gol! ¡Lambrú!
This week on Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors, how a Danish wonder kid nearly ended up at Liverpool, and how the team of the 80s could have won even more. Michael Ledger's proposed move to Merseyside could have altered the European football landscape. But why did the deal ultimately collapse? Find out on this week's Sliding Doors. Subscribe now in your OTB football podcast to not miss an episode. Coming to you for free each and every Monday. Ireland scrum half Craig Casey was sent to the sin bin in the win over the Italians on Saturday, perhaps a tad controversially, as Alan Quinlan explains here.
It's fair to say you were fairly perturbed by the Craig Casey decision to sin bin him live on commentary. And I wonder, has anything changed, it's your opinion, live to 2 days later?
No, I think, you know, there's been lots of improvements in a sense of something I wasn't... for it when it came in, the 20-minute red card, and until I heard that referees can still give a red card for really dangerous foul play or something really cynical or nasty, there's an appetite to try and speed up this whole process and get it right, but we're still seeing some that are wrong. The Tyburn one in against New Zealand, I think... You could talk about the Mustard one being wrong as well, I thought, in Italy. And I thought the word common sense has come into these situations, more of a human feel, because, you know, as commentators and people watching, that we you know, and I'm guilty of quoting the laws of the game and, you know, letter of the law and stuff like that. But good refereeing... always in the history of me playing the game, even from a young age, was common sense. You know, with a young kid, he does something stupid, he slaps someone. Oh, technically, yes, that's a straight red card, but is it better to bring him over or tell his coach to tell this guy calm down now and he made a mistake there? And, you know, so I thought there was a sense that a little bit of common sense should have been applied here. That letter of the law, oh, yes, you can say Craig Casey was upright. He's absorbing every bit of that tackle, every bit of that tackle. He's the one who gets his nose busted, has to go off then and get a sin bin. So I thought just as a penalty only, don't make a big thing out of this.
Well, Kenny, talk about like responsibility. if we're saying that within that law, the responsibility is on the player who's tackling and then not be a yellow card.
Yeah, but the responsibility is the player standing up. The carry is completely explosive forward towards him. I've always said this, if there's any movement forward from the player, well, then he's now engaging and instigating contact and he's ready to hit somebody. The player is literally absorbing like that. He gets his nose smashed,
right? Like he has to.
But he wasn't tackling. Joe McCarthy was low tackling this guy already. So if there's no tackler there, you can totally isolate that and say he's the only one potentially making this tackle. Joe McCarthy's making a leg tackle on the player.
And if you want to hear any of our rugby coverage, remember you can do so now in your OTB Rugby podcast feed. And if you haven't already, don't miss a minute of rugby this month with an Off the Ball subscription. For a limited time only, you can get your first month for just €1. That's all your Six Nations coverage, expert analysis, specialist podcasts and more. Try OTB for a month for just €1 and see why Ireland's rugby fans never switch off. Download the Go Loud app and join in the obsession today. And on Monday Night Rugby, Owen Sheehan will be joined by Andy Dunn and Gerry Thornley. That'll be available on your radios from 8 o'clock tonight and Off the Ball on Newstalk and the Go Loud app. And if you want to listen at your own leisure, you'll be able to do so in the OTB Rugby podcast feed. France kept alive their Grand Slam hopes with a convincing 8-try, 54-12 hammering of woeful Wales, who suffered a 13th successive Six Nations defeat. Wing Theo Atasogbe scored 2 tries, with further scores from Emilien Galiaton, Fabien Braubori, Louis Bielbieri, Matthew Jalibert, Julien Marchand and Charles Olivant, and 14 points kicked by Thomas Ramos. The attendance of 57,744 at the Principality Stadium in Cardiff was Wales' lowest crowd for a Six Nations game at the ground that was not played during the COVID era. Wales responded with a first half try from prop Rhys Carey and a consolation score from Mason Grady, but could not prevent a record win for France in Cardiff. Les Bleus also scored a record amount of points in this fixture, beating the 51 they managed in 1998 at Wembley. In these 6 games Wales have played under head coach Steve Tandy, they've now conceded 302 points and 42 tries. Defending champions France remain the only unbeaten team in the tournament and will host Italy next Sunday. Wales, who are staring at a third consecutive wooden spoon, have a 6-day turnaround when they host a rejuvenated Scotland, who beat England 31-20 on Saturday. Wales have lost 23 of the past 25 internationals, which included an 18-match losing sequence, with the only 2 test victories in the past 3 years coming against Japan. Their Six Nations losing streak now stretches back 1,072 days to when Wales beat Italy in Rome in March 2023. This was a 10th successive Six Nations home defeat, with Wales not having won a match in Cardiff in the tournament for 4 years since defeating Scotland in February 2022. That was 1,464 days ago. Wales were more impressive than the 48-7 loss to England in their opening match, but shipped 50 points at home for the 5th time in just under a year. After the game, Welsh head coach Steve Tandy says there was more to his side yesterday than the defeat to England on the opening day.
Yeah, obviously disappointed with the scoreline, but I feel like you've got to tip your hat to France, what they brought, but I thought there was more in us today. I thought, you know, parts of the game, I know you'll all probably look at me stupid when I'm talking around the scoreline, but the path we're on, I thought there were glimpses today. I thought some of the set piece stuff, I thought some of the intent of how we wanted to go after the game. We've come up against a class team, but ultimately I think there's enough in us, what I've seen today from the boys, that we can go back in on Tuesday. And I know it's not the scoreline, but ultimately it's part of the journey and the road we're on, and every nation's at different stages, whereas we're on the early onset of where we need to go to. But we've got to focus on the things we did better today. The discipline was better, set piece. But still, there's obviously areas in our game we need to grow. But it's making sure when we come back in on Tuesday, we're ready to go and produce a better performance next weekend.
And captain Debbie Lake added that he feels that Wales improved a lot in 1 week, despite the scoreline.
Like, it's weird to say looking at the scoreline, but we are much better than last week. Yeah, I think in patches we put together some excellent attacking sets. Probably just that last pass or the last thing of the set didn't stick for us, which obviously cost us in the end. But I think we were much better for large parts of that game. And look, France were a team at the very top of the world at the minute, and they can create things out of absolutely nothing. They scored some world-class tries, they got some world-class individuals. We know there's things for us to mop up. We're not going to hide away from that fact. And we're not going to hide away from the fact we are disappointed with the scoreboard. But all in all, we were much more positive out there today.
That is about all we have time for on today's Rugby Daily. I'm David Wilson, and we'll be back with more tomorrow.
To listen to all of our rugby coverage, become a member by signing up at offtheball.com/join now.